I love that. Isn't that cool? So think about it. What if that was today? That's probably how it would be sent out. It wouldn't be just a couple women going saying, "He's risen, he's not here." It would be sent through text, and that'd be the most awesome text of all time to get. So it turns out that the brain has a powerful need to finish what it starts. When it can't complete something, it gets stuck on it. That's just kind of, this is from Psychology Today. Intrusive thoughts about what we could not finish may pop into our heads as a way to remind the cognitive system that something still needs to be completed. So that's what they say. So my question is, there are people that start things and don't finish it. Maybe that's you. I've done that before, but I resonate with that, because for me, I just think, I need to get that finished, And it's frustrating when that projects don't get done. Our bookshelf took 2 years, and this bed's not going to take that long. I'm determined that, even with gardening and church and everything else we're doing. But it does. It does bother me, and I think about it. My question is, is there a diagnosis for people who start things but never finish them? You know, they'll start 100 projects, and then they'll have 100 projects still yet to be completed. My uncle, he did complete it, I think. He had a roadster that he was working on for a couple decades, I think. He just never seemed to could get it finished. He was a, he lives in Salt Lake City, and he was a machinist, a very good one. In fact, he worked for a medical supply company, and he just make prototypes, you know, or molds and stuff for prototypes, things like that. So he was very, very good at what he did, because it wasn't a production line thing. It was every time he made something, it was completely unique. But so then he loved cars, and he was good with engines. He knows all about that. But it took him forever to complete that. But there are people that they just never seem to complete things. They start out enthusiastically, and then they don't finish it. Their interest dies out quickly. Well, let's talk about a few things we start but never finish. A gym routine. How many of you tried an exercise routine or gym or something and said, "Man, I'm gonna do this every week, 2-3 days a week, 5 days a week, whatever," and then a month later, 2 months later, you're just not doing it anymore. A diet plan. Anybody ever done that? Say, "I'm gonna lose weight." I've never done that. Now, a weight gain program, yeah, that's something that I've tried doing, actually, in basic training. So drill sergeants put me on a weight gain program. That was, eat all the stuff, all the desserts and stuff that those on the table that I was setting at shouldn't be eating. They would give them to me and say, "You will eat that." And I had like 10 minutes to eat, just like everybody else had 10 minutes to eat. But I had 2 or 3 more brownies on my plate to eat on top of all the other stuff. And they wouldn't let me leave until I ate it all. And there was many times I just almost feel like I'm going to throw up because of all that I ate. I don't think they do that in basic training anymore. But a diet plan, exam prep. Have you ever waited till the last minute to prepare for an exam? I've done that too many times in college. And you don't remember it because you cram for it, and then it's gone in a week. But you remember it for the next day's exam, and you get a good grade on it. Cleaning a messy room. You say you're going to get to it. New Year's resolutions. And some of that all relates to that, diet plans and all that. Last two, saving money. You say you're going to save money, and then at the end of the month, you're like, "Where'd the money go that I was going to save?" And lastly, buffet plate, especially Chinese for me. I get more food because it all looks so good, and you never finish it. So some things that we typically never finish. What if Jesus never finished what he started? What if? Well, your answer depends on who you think Jesus is, how you answer that. Do you really believe he's the Son of God, or don't you? If you don't, then that question's really not that important to you. It doesn't matter. But it really does matter. So I want you to watch this video, "Who is Jesus?" ¶¶
Historical figure?
I don't know. I think he was just a person. I don't know.
Just a normal person, like us.
He was a selfless person.
I have no clue. He was a man.
I think he was marketing genius because he got people to believe him.
I don't think he's the son of God. I don't believe that at all.
If David Copperfield was in the day of Jesus, he would be Jesus.
I'm pretty sure he existed. Like, I'm not going to say that he didn't exist.
He was God's son, but so was Gandhi, and so was Muhammad, and so was, you know, we're all God's children.
Jesus is someone I pray to.
Well, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and he, to me, is the, like, symbol of just ultimate forgiveness and ultimate love. He's sort of that, like, constant figure in my life.
Jesus is also Isa in Arabic, and he was a messenger as well.
He was just extremely enlightened, like, religiously and morally.
Was somebody that just tried to impart wisdom on others and make the world a better place.
I think he saw something that a lot of people didn't see and still don't see in others. And I think that's just a lot of love and hope.
Jesus sort of seemed like an ominous figure. You know, he was God, and it was hard to relate to him. But I think as I've grown in my faith a lot, I've really started to see Jesus as my closest friend.
So a lot of different answers there. One I never heard before was, well, yeah, Jesus is the son of God, but so is Muhammad, so are we. You know, it's like, I've never heard that, but it does matter what you think, who Jesus is. Was Jesus truly the son of God? Did he really rise again from the dead? Did he really die for our sins? So no matter what you think Jesus was or is, the consequences of Jesus not finishing what he started would have been tragic. It would have meant we are all dead in our trespasses and sins, heading on a path to eternal death in which no one could stop. That would be us. And not the most powerful person in the world, the smartest person in the world, the most intelligent, whatever it is, nobody could stop our trajectory towards death and eternal damnation if Jesus didn't finish what he started. The good news is Jesus finished what God the Father started. Actually, I say Jesus started, really God the Father started it. God sent his son into the world. But then we will see that Jesus has not yet finished all God has started. So we'll see at one point, yeah, Jesus finished it. We see those words, Jesus said it is finished, but at the same time, he didn't finish it. And we'll explain what that means in a little bit. So Jesus finished what the Father started. So we go to John 19:30. It says this. It says, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So one of the very last words uttered by Jesus on the cross, it is finished, in John 19:30, is one of the most important. The words, it is finished, are found only in this passage. And the Greek word translated, is finished, is tetelestai, an accounting term meaning paid in full. So when Jesus said, it is finished, he's saying, I have paid the price for everybody's sins, for the world's sins, for Adam and Eve's sins on up. I've paid, it's been paid in full. And that's what that word means. When Jesus said it is finished, that the debt owed by man to his creator on account of Adam's sins is finally and forever dealt with. In other words, there is nothing we can do to add to that. All the good works we can do, we can be faithful followers of Jesus our whole life, or we can choose just to have fire insurance and saying, yep, I accept it as my Savior. I question whether you're saved if that's all you do. But either way, Jesus died for us, and nothing we can do to add to it or not do can take away from it. When it is finished, is saying not only does he take away man's sin, but now he removes it as far as the east is to the west. for is finished, done, signed, and sealed because of the blood of Jesus. So Jesus paid for our sins, and he has casted it as far as the east is from the west. When we mess up, when we do the wrong things, when we sin, either knowingly or unknowingly, God says, I've cast that as far as the east is. And how far away is the east from the west? It's never ending. And that's how far God has casted it. Jesus said with it, when he said it is finished, is saying not only does he take away man's sin, but now he removes it as far, I already read that. None but Jesus can say it is finished. You know, none of us can say it is finished, only Jesus. That's why it is crucial that not only did he die on the cross, that he rose again. Because if he didn't do either one of those things, then we're heading on a path of destruction that no one can atone for. The work of Jesus is to seek and save that which is lost, and we see that in Luke 19:10, and to provide atonement for sinners whom Jesus died for, to reconcile them to God. None but the Lord God who accomplish and say with the authority of God that it is finished. So the fact that God said it is finished, only he could say that. Only he has the authority to say that. So what is the meaning of it is finished? I already told you it means paid in full. It's an accounting term. But what does it truly mean? It means that Jesus fulfilled prophecy. Was it 300 of them? How many prophecies he fulfilled? Well, it's quite a few anyway. All the prophecies he fulfilled. That God's plan to save mankind was completed on the cross, and it cannot be undone. In fact, Scripture says that we are sealed until the day of Christ Jesus. And if you know anything about sealing back then, a king would put a wax seal on an envelope, and if that seal was broken before it got to the recipient on the other end, then that messenger should probably fear for his life, depending on what the letter was. But if it was stamped and sealed by a king, only the one receiving it or the king himself could break that seal. And when it comes to Christianity, we are sealed through the Holy Spirit, which means only the recipient can break that seal. And who is the recipient? It's God himself. So God not only seals us, but he is only one that could break that seal. And he promises us what? That he will never leave us or forsake us. We have been sealed and we will be sealed until the day that we get to heaven. And that is a promise. So that's what it means. So what does it mean for us? Again, it means that we're sealed. But when Jesus said it is finished on the cross, it means that he provided the only solution for man's sin and the only way to God through himself. It is only through the death of Christ that Christians can put to death their sin and put on Christ. So in other words, you know, there's a story about in one of my books, Classic Christianity, this guy for years, been struggling with alcoholism, and it was this author's neighbor. I don't forget the author's name, but it was his neighbor, and he'd go there for years. He had walked the aisle, made a profession of faith in Christ, but yet he struggled with this, and the author just didn't know what in the world's going on. It turned out, when he got right down to it, years later, he finally asked the guy, he said, When you put your trust in Christ, what were you putting your trust in? The man 2,000 years ago, or are you putting your Christ in Jesus, the Son of God? And he admitted he was putting his faith in the man who lived 2,000 years ago. And what he meant by that was he came forward and said, I want to live like Jesus. The way Jesus lived, I want to live that way. Just like the video we saw, there was those, yeah, he was a good man. He was a good example for us to follow. But when we try that, we fall short. When Jesus said, it is finished, he was giving us the power to live the way he wants us to live, But it's only when we accept him as our Savior and we allow him to work in us. When we try to do it on our own, we'll fall flat on our face. So we look at the empty tomb. When we talk about being, when he said on the cross, "It is finished," he had provided atonement for our sins. That part had been paid for. But then we also have the empty tomb. Matthew 28:11-15, if you'll turn there. As I try to look through this old torn up Bible and find it. Matthew 28:11-15. It says, "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they saved large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did." Well, did you know what? Thank you. It just so happens this old torn up Bible, when I turned the page, it went straight to St. Mark. So thank you very much. So the tomb was empty. You know, they had to lie about it because there was no reason why the tomb shouldn't have been empty, and so they knew that this was legit, that Jesus was definitely had rose from the dead. They had no doubt about that. But they couldn't let that word get out, that Jesus really did rise like he said he was going to. So they said, "Well, just say this. You know, just say that that they stole him in the night." So it proves that what Christ did for us is genuine, that he is alive. Unlike other religions where the leader's body could be found, Jesus is alive, and that's exciting. That's what makes Easter so exciting. Even more exciting than Christmas, with Jesus coming as a baby. It's exciting. But also is that we too have victory over death. That's also what it means to us, that we too have victory over death. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead has been at the heart of the gospel message from the beginning. The empty tomb tells us that the grave could not hold Jesus, that he bodily rose from the grave. Jesus demonstrated his mastery over death, and it holds promise for believers as well, that we also will have victory over death. Isn't that exciting? You know, I think of Matthew and his pain and all that he's going through. He's going to have victory over that. Just not when he wants it, more than likely. Actually, it isn't when he wants it, because he wanted it years ago. You know, we all go through struggles. We all go through junk in this life that we just don't want to go through. You know, even I hate to say it, even this church, we just wish it would grow yesterday. We just wish we would be self-supporting, that we would have no financial worries whatsoever, and we can go through all this stuff. But no matter what God's plan is for this church, when it's for this church, for your life, no matter what you're going through, that's exciting news, that we also will have victory, not just over death, but over all the junk in our lives. And it may not be when we want it to be it, but we are promised victory. One day we'll be in heaven where we won't have to worry about all this. 1 Corinthians 15:9-26 says this, "If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we're of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all of his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. So there's some good promises there. He could not reign if he was still in the grave. So Jesus had to rise again. He could not make intercession for his own in Hebrews 7:25, which says this, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So God, Jesus is up there making intercession for us. We cannot be raised in newness of life. Romans 6:4 says this, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. You know, I talk about that roadster that was left unfinished for years. You know, it would, if my uncle would not have finished that, it would have just sat there in the garage collecting dust and eventually go to the landfill, I'm sure, unless somebody else finished it. But if it never got finished, that's probably where it would have ended up, years, decades down the road. But same with Jesus. But Jesus finished what he started, and he gives us the victory. Jesus didn't just die to take away your sins. He rose again to give you newness of life. We can walk in this newness because God, through Christ's death and resurrection, gives us this ability. So my question is do you live defeated, or are you looking to Jesus for the power and strength you need to live each day in a way that honors him and what he did for you? And we do this by, first of all, recognizing that Jesus finished what he started, and then just developing that relationship, accepting him as your Savior, your Lord and Savior, and choosing to make him Lord of your life, and just do what he says and live for him. And we will have the victory. God promises that. So we do what he commands us to do, no matter how hard it seems. Well, God finished what he started by saving us from our sins, which means we are sealed until the day Christ returns for his own, or until we get to heaven. He has yet to finish what he started as well. What I mean by that is that he did not finish what he started, is that God completed our salvation with his death. It is finished. That's complete. He sealed our salvation when the seal of the tomb was broken and he rose again. So that part is complete and finished, yet we are still being sanctified, being saved, which means being saved, and that is being made more and more like Christ. That is what he's not finished doing. He is not finished building his church. He is not finished building us up spiritually and making us more like him. That he has yet to finish. And we won't be finished until the rapture and the church is with him. We have been saved. See, there's three types of salvation. One is we have been saved. We see that in 2 Timothy 1:9, which says this, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. So he saved us. We're sealed until a saved salvation. We are being saved in 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. So we are being saved. It's growth and perseverance, what that means. But we're gradually being saved. And then third, we shall be saved. Romans 5, 9, and 10. Since therefore we live, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. So in other words, there's going to be a salvation that's future. We're in heaven and we're made perfect, and we're saved out of this world into a glorious kingdom. Then our salvation has been completed through the cross, but it is not finished in the fact that we still have some growing up to do. We are still children. We still have to grow, every one of us. Even the most spiritual. I know Scripture says that, you know, we were to grow up to be mature in our faith, not so we're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But in some ways, we're all still children that have to grow. And we still have to seek our Heavenly Father, who will always be children, Ephesians 4:13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's why God gave us teachers and preachers, apostles and prophets. It says that before it. It's until we get there. And we will never get there until heaven. So we will always need apostles, prophets, teachers, and pastors. Philippians 1:6 says this, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus." And so God isn't finished with us yet. He finished it on, Jesus said, "It is finished," tetelestai. He paid our price. We are going to heaven. If you know Christ as your Savior, that is where you're heading to. He rose again from the grave, making intercession for his own, giving us the power we need to live for him. But at the same time, he also said, We're still in this process. It's not finished yet. It won't be finished till we get to heaven. But we need to trust in Christ for our daily lives and for all that we do. And that is really my heart. Everything that I talk about, everything that I say, I would give up everything other than my family for the vision and the mission God has given me for this church and for my life and the life of my family. You know, I really would. I would sell everything I own if that's what God asked me to do. Or to give up gardening, which I love to do, and to give up all the other stuff, because really it's about Christ. It's about his will for our lives. And I try to seek that daily. And that's what we all need to do. Because Christ completed the work, but he's completing the work through us and through his church. And I so desperately want to see many come to faith in Christ through us. And I pray that this Easter season, you know, here moving forward, that many will come to faith in Christ, that through our men's small group, that there'll be those that accept Christ as their Savior, and then we train them up to be able to do the same to their lost friends, that their lost friends will accept Christ as Savior, and that our group would get so big we'd have to start two groups and then go from there. That's what I'd love to see, because it's all about Christ. It's all about what Jesus did on the cross. It's all about God getting the glory. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He's building it. He just wants to use us, and our job is just to seek him and his will in everything, in all that we do as a church and individuals. And so, to end with this, my final question to you is that where you're at? Are you willing to give up whatever God has called you to give up to fulfill what his purpose for your life, for he's called you to? Because when you do that, you know, then that's when that's how we have an abundant life. And that's how we have a life of joy and of peace, when we're just simply doing God's will. It's not always easy. God never gives us anything we can do on our own. There's that saying that says there's nothing that you and I, in other words, Jesus, our God, that you and I together can't handle. Because together, we can handle anything, because really it's God doing it all. But apart from him, we'll fall flat on our face. And our New Year's resolutions are all those things we started, probably won't come to fruition. So seek God in all that you do. Trust in him. He'll take care of you. If he died on a cross for our sins and gone through all that punishment, and if he had the ability to rise from the dead after he was dead with a seal that nobody can move, a rock, a stone, and he could do all of that, there's nothing he can't handle. Let us pray. Lord, this scripture is encouraging, just the fact that you did the impossible. We saw in that video, that one guy said, yeah, if Houdini was alive back then, he would have been Jesus. Well, it was more than just an illusion or a magic trick. You really did die. And the tomb really did have a heavy rock over it with no way of escape. And there was really a seal on it. But you broke that seal so that we can be sealed until the day of redemption. And so, Lord, I just help us to remember that. And, Lord, really help us to seek your will. That is my heart's desire. Whatever you want to do, you have it, Lord. And may we be willing to give up our own desires, our own thoughts, our own vision, and truly seek what you have for us. And then walk in the courage and strength of the Lord. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.